Have a blessing, everyone. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be in other devices and later on recording. Have a blessing, everyone, on this Sabbath, April 18, 2026. This is our review of our chapter 32 entitled The Home of the Saved. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with the tiny thought hymn entitled When We All Get to Heaven, hymn 633, with some little changes by God's grace.
Brother Dick, your mic isn't on.
Well, thank you, Josh. I was saying that somebody's going to have to bring some tots pretty soon. Our tots are growing up. They're girls. They're getting bigger. I've seen pictures of them. And so anyway, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the trials of life repay. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. You know, I asked to have that changed to the saved, because all won't be saved. I tried to encourage a friend of mine years ago in California to prepare for heaven. He said, I don't have any interest in heaven. I intend to go to hell. He picked up his beer and took a swig. So we all won't be there. Okay, your turn, Rose.
Amen. Yes, Lord. I didn't even notice my mic was open. If you see me singing along, I apologize. I just had it by mistake. We are going to ask any of the little ones, by the help of their parents and their siblings, to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days out of labor and do all our work. And for someone, this is the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the things that we learned in our review today. Please protect the Sabbath family and keep it holy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So it's story time for our precious little toddlers. We have still toddlers, brother, on deck. Praise God. Let's have our listening ears, dear one. And we are going to ask our dear brother to review once more the first part of our new and last chapter of this book, the story of Jesus, chapter 32, entitled The Home of the Saved.
All right, the Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the following books. Our opening verse scripture is taken from Psalm 9:5. Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name forever and ever. Wow, what a verse to start with. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Ecclesiastes 3:14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be done forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doth it that men should fear before him. Joshua. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37:11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The day of Christ's coming is a day of destruction only to evil. It is a day of redemption, not only for God's people, but for the earth. God created the earth to be man's home. Here, Adam dwelt in that garden of delight which the Creator himself had beautified. Though sin had marred God's work, yet the human race has not been abandoned by its Creator, nor his purpose for the earth set aside. To this earth, angels have come with the message of redemption, and the hills and the valleys have echoed their songs of rejoicing. Before I get to the end here, I want to comment on one of the pictures above. You see two hands holding the earth, the globe of the earth. Something's going to have to change, because this earth has almost 8 billion people on it. Now, they're not all going to be saved, but imagine this little earth of ours, because there are worlds out there that are much bigger, containing all the saved and all the angels. And there are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Maybe there'll be so many oceans, you think? More ground? Oh, I don't know. Its soil has been trodden by the feet of the Son of God, and for more than 6,000 years in its form and beauty, the gifts for sustenance, provision of food, the earth has borne witness to the Creator's love. Next. This same earth, freed from the curse of sin, is to be man's eternal home. On the earth, the scripture says, that God created not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited, Isaiah 5:18. And whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever, Ecclesiastes 3:14. So in the Sermon on the Mount, the Savior declared, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, Matthew 5:5. So the psalmist long before had written, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace, Psalm 37:11. This was taken from the story of Jesus, 183 and 184. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So next time we will continue with part two of our chapter in our toddler's program entitled The Home of the Saved in our tiny top lesson book, The Story of Jesus. And that will take place here on April 25th, 2026. Before we will share the questions by our dear brother, I have this scripture song. And is Psalms 24, verses 3 to 6, taken from the scripture song singers in this sector and character building. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to hand it back to our dear brother that he can share the review questions.
All right. Remembering what we read. First question, what is the day of Christ's coming?
The answer to number one is a day of destruction only to evil.
A day of destruction only to evil. Well, that'd be a good day. Hey, you know that? All right, number two, what was the earth seen for more than 6,000 years? What has the earth seen for more than 6,000 years in its beauty?
The answer to number three is that earth is caused from witness of the Creator's love.
It has shown that though there is sin in this world, the Lord Jesus loves the people down here. And he's tried to keep the earth beautiful if man doesn't destroy it. What is this same earth to be when it's freed from sin's curse?
The man's
eternal
home.
Yes, it's going to be man's eternal home. We get to live here again. We'll be gone for 1,000 years. And then we get to come back and live here. And the earth will look a lot better when we get ready to move back in. All right, the bonus question. What did the scripture say God made the earth for?
The answer to our bonus question is, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited.
Yes. That's better. Inhabited, yes. Inhibit. Your mama will explain what that means. Okay, thank you for participating.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother, and all the little ones. I'm going to try to see if I can sing the new changes. And remember, little ones, when they saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saints see Jesus, we'll sing and shout for victory. Amen. We are going to ask any of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests to be able to open our review section of our family. We would like to be able to sing, pray for our opening of our review. May you unmute.
Have a blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. God, please protect us. Please protect me and people who are here and people who are not here. And please protect the people who are not able to make it because of the sickness. Please protect the people who did get to make it. Please protect all the things that we're going to be reviewing today. Please protect everybody that we know. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So it's time for Atanita, some parents, to review what they have learned from their lesson in God's creation of nature. We're still in our topic, Mummies of the Bible. This summer, boys and girls, mummies and daddies, and even our guests, we will review part one of our new lesson entitled Faith in Canaan. The first topic from last Sabbath of the nature segment is entitled Moments of Prayer Bears, and our dear brother Josh will be the one to share.
God blessings, everyone. Here today, this is our review of our topic, Mammals of the Bible, taking from Family Bible Lesson, or FBL, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 11, Faith in Canaan. The Bible verses for our nature segment review of Lesson 11, entitled Faith in Canaan, our opening scripture is taken from Mark 7:24, and it reads, "And from thence he arose, went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid." And Matthew 15:21-22 says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." And we will be reviewing our first lesson about the bear. Verse again, it says, "Then Jesus said, answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wert. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Matthew 15:28. And the character quality of the story is health or helpfulness versus conflict. Health or helpfulness is a harmonious state of could be physical, mental, or spiritual well-being. For our new 7 minute first topic review, we'll be reviewing lesson one, Mammals of Prey Bears. We'll learn about the spiritual insight before the nature lesson. Nature, mammals of prey, bears. The Canaanite woman. After the encounter with the Pharisees, Jesus would withdrew from Capernaum and crossing Galilee, prepared to the hill country on the borders of Phoenicia. Looking westward, he could see, spat upon the plain below, the ancient cities of Tyre and Sidon, with their heathen temples, their magnificent palaces and marts of trade, and the harbors with shipping. Beyond was the blue expanse of the Mediterranean, over which the messengers of the gospel were to bear its glad tidings to the center of the world's great empire. But the time was not yet. The work before him now was to prepare his disciples for their mission. In coming, came to this region, he hoped to find the retirement he had failed to cure at Bethsaida. Yet this was not his only purpose in taking this journey. And under we see a map of Israel from Galilee. Hippolis. And it says in these rectangles, and over here is Bethsaida, where he left from. Okay, continuing. Behold, a Canaanitish woman came out from those borders and cried, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Matthew 15:22, Revised Version. And over here we have the original King James Version, Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the city and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." The people of Israel were the old Canaanite race. They were idolaters and were despised and hated by the Jews. To this class belonged the woman who now came to Jesus, Jesus, and was therefore excluded from the advantages which the Jews daily enjoyed. There were many Jews living among the Phoenicians, and the tidings of Christ's work had penetrated to this region. Some of the people had listened to his words and had witnessed his wonderful works. This woman had heard of the prophet who, it was reported, healed all manner of diseases. As she heard of his power, hope sprang up in her heart. Inspired by a mother's love, she determined to present her daughter's case to him. It was her resolute purpose to bring her affliction to Jesus. He must heal her child. She had sought help from the heathen, but had obtained no relief. And at times, she was tempted to think, "What can this Jewish teacher do for me?" But the word had come. He heals all manner of diseases, whether those who come to him for help are rich or poor. He determined not to lose her only hope. Christ knew this woman's situation. He knew that she was longing to see him, and he placed himself in her path. By ministering to her sorrow, he gave a living representation of the lesson he designed to teach. For this he had brought his disciples into this region. He desired them to see the existing in cities and villages close to the land of Israel. The people who had been given every opportunity to understand the truth were without a knowledge of the needs of those around them. No effort was made to help souls in darkness. The partition wall which Jewish pride had erected shut even the disciples from sympathy with the heathen world. But these barriers were to be broken down. The Desire of Ages, page 399-400. Let's learn more and review our three character qualities from part one of last hour. From the Holy Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy, Civil Law and the Testimonies, Isaiah 8:20, King James Version. Help, one, health, two, helpfulness, and three, conflict. Health in Scripture and Spirit of Prophecy. Our bodies are built up from the food we eat. There is a constant breaking down of the tissues of the body. Every movement of every organ involves waste, and this waste is prepared from our food. Each organ of the body requires its share of nutrition. The brain must be supplied with its portion. The bones, muscles, and nerves demand theirs. There's a wonderful process that transforms the food into blood and uses this blood to build up the varied parts of the body. But this process is going on continually, supplying with life and strength each nerve, muscle, and tissue. History Healing, page 295, paragraph 1. In order to know what are the best foods, we must study the plan for man's diet. He who created man, who understands his needs, appointed Adam his food. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, two shall be for me." Genesis 1:29. Upon leaving Eden to gain his livelihood by tilling the earth under the curse of sin, man received permission to eat also the herb of the field. Genesis 3:18, the Ministry of Healing, page 295, paragraph 3. Grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables constitute the diet chosen for us by our Creator. These foods, prepared in as simple and natural a manner as possible, are the most helpful and nourishing. They impart a strength, a power of endurance, and a vigor of intellect that are not afforded by a more complex and stimulating diet. Ministry of Healing, page 296, paragraph 1. The study of physiology. Parents should early seek to interest their children in the study of physiology and should teach them in simpler principles. Teach them how best to preserve the physical, mental, and spiritual powers, and how to use their gifts so that their lives may bring blessings to one another and honor to God. This knowledge is invaluable to the young. An education in the things that concern life and health is more important to them than a knowledge of any of the sciences taught in the schools. Ministry of Healing, page 384, paragraph 4. Parents should live more for their children and less for society. Study health subjects and put your knowledge to a practical use. Teach your children to reason from cause to effect. Teach them that if they desire health and happiness, they must obey the laws of nature. Though you may not see so rapid improvement as you desire, be not discouraged, but patiently and perseveringly continue your work. The Ministry of Healing, page 286, paragraph 1. Healthfulness in Scripture and Spirit Prophecy. The healthfulness of youth requires exercise, cheerfulness, and a happy, pleasant atmosphere surrounding them for the development of physical health and symmetrical character. Child Guidance, page 25, paragraph 4. Christ could not help of being bright and shining. His very work was to shine. "I am come," he said, "that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. In me is no darkness at all. Light means revelation, and the light is to shine amid more darkness. Christ is everything to those who receive him. He is their comforter, their safety, their helper. Apart from Christ, there is no light at all. There need not be a cloud between the soul and Jesus. His great heart of love is longing to flood the soul with the bright beams of his righteousness. Letter 153A, 1897. Lift Him Up, page 221, paragraph 7. We have been entrusted with the most solemn message ever given to our world, and the object to be kept plainly and distinctly before our minds is the glory of God. Let us take care that we do nothing which will weaken physical, mental, or spiritual healthfulness, for God will not accept a tainted, diseased, corrupted sacrifice. Care must be exercised in eating and drinking and dressing and in working. Lest we detract from our efficiency and fail of doing our most exalted work in the best manner, in order that the results of our labor may be as lasting as eternity. Our High Calling, page 108, paragraph 3. Conflict in Scripture and Spirit Prophecy. Colossians 2:1-3 reads, "For I would that ye know For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Manuscript release number 1152, the message of 1888, an appeal for unity, the need for the indwelling of Christ. This message has not had the influence that it should have had upon the mind and heart of the believers. The true state of the church is to be presented before men, and they are to receive the word of God, not as something originating with men, but as the word of God. Many have treated the message to the Laodiceans as it has come to them, as the word of man. Both message and messenger have been held in doubt by those who should have been the first to discern and act upon it as the word of God. Had they received the word of God sent to them, they would not now be in the darkness. But I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. Colossians 2, 1, 2. Manuscript release 15. Sorry, page 90. Page 1, paragraph 2. And here we said, Jesus came to this world to seek and save the lost of any race, religion, or circumstances. This Sabbath, we review more about our first topic, Mental Prey, bears. Mammals of prey, bears. Bears are generally omnivorous, but dietary preferences range from seals for their entirely carnivorous polar bear, whose scientific name is Ursus maritimus, to assorted vegetation for the largely herbivorous spectacle bear, whose scientific name is Trimarctos ornatus, and the giant panda, whose scientific name is Aeloropoda nonnulluca, eats only bamboo. Here, mammals of prey, bears. Where do you find bears? They're found in forests, meadows, river valleys, and even treeless plains. Where do you find the women of Canaan? The answer is the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Where bears live? Bears are found in the Americas, Europe, and Asia. They're often found in mountainous areas and forests. The black bear lives in North America. The brown bear is found in North America, Europe, and Asia. The Asiatic black bear and the sloth bear live in parts of Asia. The world's far northern regions, called the Arctic, are home to the polar bear. Most bears live in northern regions with a mild or cold climate. However, the spectacle bear is found in the Andes Mountains, South America. The sloth bear of India and Sri Lanka lives in hot or warm regions. Here on our right are the geographic range of the 8 bear species, and the different colored squares tells we'll find each. The forest green square represents the American black bear, which we'll find in North America, Canada, and nearly all over the United States. The purple square is for the Asiatic black bear, like it said, it lives in parts of Asia, particularly China and northern India and all of the countries between. The orange square is for the brown bear, which we'll find in the northern parts of North America, Alaska, and most parts of Russia and in Eastern Europe, Northeastern Europe. The red square is for the giant panda, which is home only in China. The the base, the light beige B square is for the polar bear, which lives all over the Arctic above. The yellow O square is for the sloth bear, which is only in India and Sri Lanka. The regular green square is for the spectacle bear. Like I said, it's in the Andes Mountains in South America. On parts like Bolivia, Colombia, and others. And finally, the light green one is for the sun, square is for the sun bear, which in parts of Borneo, Malaysia, Thailand, and all parts of Southern Asia. Introduction. Bears are large, powerful mammals related to dogs and raccoons. The biggest bears are the world's largest animals that live on land and eat meat. There are several species of types of bears. There are the polar bear, the brown bear, the black bear, the Asiatic bear, the sun bear, the spectacle bear, and the sloth bear. The brown bear is commonly called the grizzly bear in North America. Both species also consider the giant panda to be a member of the bear family. In the next slide, we'll see pictures and scientific names and classified names of these bears. There are several species or types of bears. We have the American black bear, whose scientific name is Ursus americanus. The giant panda, whose scientific name is Eloropoda melanoleuca. The sun bear, whose scientific name is Halarctos malianus. The Asiatic black bear, whose scientific name is Ursus tibetanus. The brown bear, whose scientific name is Ursus arctos. The spectacle bear, whose scientific name is Trimarctos ornatus. The polar bear, whose scientific name is Ursus maritimus. The sloth bear, whose scientific name is Molursus ursinus. Information from kid.britannica.com/kids/article/bear. And /352836. Behaviors. Bears are carnivores or meat eaters. For example, the polar bear eats seal, walrus, and fish. They think they'll eat young whales too, as that was explained by one person. However, other bears eat a large amount of plants as well as animals. They may eat roots, seeds, berries, and nuts, plus insects, fish, and deer. In the autumn, most eat a lot to put on extra fat. They then sleep through most of the winter. This is similar to a very deep resting state called hibernation. But bears are not true hibernators. Their body temperature, heartbeat rate, and breathing rate do not drop much lower than normal. What does the grizzly and brown bears eat? Brown bears eat berries, bulbs, roots, and animal foods like squirrels, insects, and fish. Brown bears are omnivores, though about 90% of their diet consists of plant foods. The brown bear is considered one of the most omnivorous creatures in the animal kingdom. In other words, this bear isn't a picky eater. In addition to the foods mentioned above, a brown bear forages for fruit, flowers, moss, and grass. It also loves different kinds of fungi, like mushrooms, and eats acorns and pine cones in the area near its trees. Animals hunted by the brown bear are usually small. Marmots, mice, and squirrels are common prey. This bear also eats carrion, already deceased animals, baby animals like fawns or baby deer, and might kill an injured animal in their path. Brown bears that live on the coast will dig for clams and spend hours in the water attempting to catch fish like salmon and trout. Continue our review part two. A Kodiak bear is a type of brown bear in Alaska and one of the largest bears in the world. Kodiak bears probably eat more than any other brown bear, requiring a very high amount of calories per day. Here's a list of common foods brown bears eat. Acorns, baby animals like fawns, bark, berries, birds, bulbs, carrion, clams, crab, eggs, fish, flowers, orbs, fruit, fungi, grasses, herbs, insects, larvae, leaves, lemmings, marmots, mice, moss, moths, nuts, pine cones, rats, roots, sedges, shoots, squirrels, and bulls. Very few plants and animals are a match against the brown bear's massive paws and long claws. Whether foraging or hunting, anything snagged by those claws is destined to be dinner, and brown bears can be very patient on the hunt, if necessary. Adult brown bears are usually too large to climb trees to catch their prey, but might wait at the bottom for the animals to fall or come back down. Despite their hefty size, brown bears can run fast to catch their target, reaching to around 35 miles per hour. When a brown bear hunts fish, it can do so in several ways. It might search in shallow pools of water where salmon gather to rest. It could stand in the river current and pounce on a school of fish swimming toward it. Or the bear might stand near the river edge and scoop fish from the water to send them flying toward the shore. Bears' physical features. Bears range in height from about 3 to 10 feet, or 1 to 3 meters. The sun bear is the smallest species. A kind of Alaskan brown bear called the Kodiak bear is the largest bear. It may weigh 1,750 pounds, 780 kilograms. Some polar bears are almost that big. Most bears are mainly brown, red brown, or black. Some have white markings on the chest or face. The type called the black bear is sometimes actually brown, blue-gray, or even white. The polar bear's white fur helps it blend in with the Arctic ice and snow. Bears have broad heads, large bodies, and short legs and tails. They have poor eyesight but an excellent sense of smell. Most kinds are good at climbing trees and at swimming. Adult bears tend to live alone, except during the mating season. A female bear gives birth to 1 to 4 cubs or babies at a time. At first, the cubs are tiny, hairless, and helpless. They drink their mother's milk for about 2 months. The cubs stay with their mother for 18 months or more. What do brown bears eat in the fall? Because brown bears hibernate through the winter, they eat more in the fall than any other season, up to 90 pounds of food per day. Through spring and summer, these bears might eat around 8,000 calories daily. That number more than doubles in the fall when brown bears eat up to 20,000 or more calories every day. All that food helps them pack on extra body fat. As the bear hibernates, the excess fat is broken down and used to supply its body with water and energy to stay alive. The brown bear eats the same essential foods in the fall as it does in warmer months. Those some favorites become scarce. When summer fruit, flowers, herbs, and leaves are no longer available in autumn, bears eat more bulls, roots, small animals, and insects. Brown bears can last for at least 100 days without food during hibernation. If they eat enough before entering this resting phase called torpor. Where do bears hibernate? The brown bear usually curls up for torpor in a cave, holes in the ground, or a den they might make from a hollowed log. Do you know your bears? Part 1. Here's the difference between the brown bear and the black bear. So their size, they're upright. The brown bear's height is 94 inches, or 2'4" or meters, while the black bear's height is 70 inches, or 1'8" meters. Their claws. Brown bears have long curved claws. while black bears have short, straight claws. Their brown bear's hump is large, but a black bear's hump is small. And how often do both species climb? The brown bear climbs rarely, but the black bear climbs often. Here are some more differences. The brown bear's fur is a solid fur color, but the grizzly bear's fur, its subspecies, it has white hair tips is on its hump. In conclusion, brown bears eat many different plants and wild animals, but they don't hunt humans for food. However, a brown bear can be dangerous to humans in certain circumstances. For example, they might attack people if provoked, if they feel threatened, or if they have been conditioned to view humans as a source of food. Mother bears or sows are very protective of their cubs. Many fatal grizzly bear attacks on humans have involved mother bears defending their cubs, but not all North American bear attacks are caused by sows. So even if you don't see their mother nearby, don't go anywhere near a brown bear. Our reference reading of our lesson, Mammals of the Bible Review, taken from the Desire Pages, have 43 barriers broken down. After the encounter with the Pharisees, Jesus withdrew from Capernaum and crossed in Galilee, prepared to hill country on the borders of Phoenicia. Looking westward, he could see, spread out upon the plain below, the ancient cities of Tyre and Sidon, with their heathen temples, their magnificent palaces and marts of trade, and the harbors filled with shipping. Beyond was the blue expanse of the Mediterranean, over which the messengers of the gospel were to bear its glad tidings to the centers of the world's great empire. But the time was not yet. The work before him now was to prepare his disciples for their mission. In coming to this region, he hoped to find the retirement he had failed to secure at Bethsaida. Yet this was not his only purpose in taking this journey. Tower of Ages, page 299, paragraph 9. Behold, a Canaanitish woman came out from those borders and cried, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Matthew 15:22. The people of this district were of the old Canaanite race. They were adulterers and were despised and hated by the Jews. To this class belonged the woman who now came to Jesus. She was a heathen and was therefore excluded from the advantages which the Jews daily enjoyed. But there were many Jews living among the Phoenicians, and the tidings of Christ's work had penetrated to this region. Some of the people had listened to his words and had witnessed his wonderful works. This woman had heard of the prophet, who, it was reported, it healed all manner of diseases. As she heard of his power, hope sprang up in her heart. Inspired by a mother's love, she determined to present her daughter's case to him. It was her resolute purpose to bring her affliction to Jesus. He must heal her child. She had sought the help from the God, but had obtained no relief. At times she was tempted to think, "What can the Jewish teacher do for me?" But the word had come, "He heals all manner of diseases, whether those who come to him for help are rich or poor." She determined not to lose her only hope. Christ knew this woman's situation. He knew that she was longing to see him, and he placed himself in her path. By ministering to her sorrow, he could give a living representation of the lesson he designed to teach. For this, he had brought his disciples into this region. He desired them to see the ignorance existing in cities and villages close to the land of Israel. The people who had been given every opportunity to understand the truth were without a knowledge of the needs of those around. No effort was made to help souls in darkness. Partition wall which Jewish pride had erected shut even the disciples from sympathy with the heathen world, but these barriers were broken down. Desire of Ages, page 399, paragraph 2, 400, paragraph 1. Here are three bonus questions. You can find the answer in the Bible, the lesson book, or even in the Desire of Ages as well. Question 1, where did Jesus go? The answer is in Matthew 15:21. 2, who came out and cried unto him? The answer is in Matthew 15:22. 3, what did women say? The answer is also Matthew 15:22. Our closing hymn for our Torah study is called My Faith Looks Up to Thee. They want to see the verse, bubble up.
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy.
May thy rich grace impart strength to my thinking heart, my zeal inspire, as thou hast done for me. Oh, may my love to thee, pure, warm, and changeless be, a living prayer.
Go ahead, dear sister.
When life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my God. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow fears away. No, let me ever stray from thee. Of thine.
We will now have closing prayer. Request for one of the little ones or mommies and daddies to give prayer.
May we bow our heads on our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most unholy name. We thank you for your blessed Sabbath day. We thank you once more to get us here from all the parts of the world and Father Jesus and throughout this week. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. We thank you as well for all the lessons that you have provided in nature for us, Father. Continue to bless us, Father. Be with the little ones today. Be with them and continue to bless them and enrich their experience in this Sabbath day. Be with their parents as well. Father Jesus, go before us now as we go through the other sections of the study. Continue to pour down your heavenly light and blessing upon us, and that we may capture each and every one that you intend for us to get today. Be with anyone that is might not be feeling well or recovering. Father, we pray for your healing hand of upon them. Lord Jesus, thank you again for your blessed Sabbath day. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. We will continue with part 2 of our Torah's lesson entitled Home of the Saved from our study book, The Story of Mike. Tomorrow. of next Sabbath, everyone will be here. We'll be continuing lesson 32, chapter 32, the home of the saved, part 2, on April 25th, 2026, just next Sabbath, from the story of Jesus. May God bless you and have a blessed day, dear ones. Oh, and another thing. It says here, I will give thee in the way in which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 32:8. Now that the weather is getting warmer enough to go outside, we can enjoy more nature walk experiences, see all the wondrous things our Creator has made in nature. Enjoy your drop experience, dear ones.
Amen. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless each and everyone. And may you have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.